Let's turn out this evening to 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here tonight, Lord. Just ask, Lord, for your help, Lord, to have clarity of thought, clarity of mind, Lord. Help me to bring, Lord, what you want me to bring tonight, Lord. Just ask this time to be a blessing for each and every one of us. We ask for Jesus' name. You'll have to excuse me a bit this afternoon. My nose just decided to run and run. And my eyes run and run. I'm sneezing, so if I start, I apologize. Okay, starting in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'll just start by a bit of review, I guess. Probably a month ago, I brought the message on separation. My first message was in regards to biblical separation and how separation should always be under God. We had a group of called out people separated under Christ called the church. And we looked at the church of Antioch and how God then separated Paul and Barnabas from that called out group for a particular ministry. So there was two areas of separation there. And we saw the Old Testament example of that in Israel as a nation being separated under God, and then the tribe of Levi being separated from them for a particular purpose of ministering under God. A second message, which some of you may have missed, it was a Wednesday night message, was on areas of separation, and those are morals and doctrine, and how they are two chain links that are inseparable. And in that message, the focus was more on how subtle the devil is in trying to pull down your morals and your doctrine. How subtle the devil is in trying to separate you from God. Tonight, I want to speak to you about the key to biblical separation, the key to separating under God. And I believe we find it in this passage that we just read. We just look at verse 1 in chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that phrase, just those last four words, the fear of God, I think that is the key to biblical separation. We find, I believe it's not only the key to separating under God, but the key to practicing biblical separation, the key to living a godly life. And these are all linked. Living a life more like Christ, living separate from the world. So we need to have a correct view of the fear of God. The Bible has a lot to say in regards to the fear of God or the fear of the Lord. And without a proper fear of God, like other Bible doctrines, if we don't have a proper view of the fear of God, it'll lead us into a distorted or perspective of God. Our view of God will tend to one extreme if we don't have a correct view of the fear of God. So we want to have a biblical understanding of the fear of God. Now, for example, if I make the mistake of saying that the fear of God only meant that you were to be afraid of him, our view of God would then be that he was a tyrant. Okay? If I make the mistake of saying that the fear of God is all about understanding the grace of God and was only about the grace of God, our view of God would then be that he would overlook my sin, that God is a forgiving God and he will forgive me of all my sinful ways. Now, just on that thought of that he will overlook my sin, anytime a Christian or anyone says this, anytime we sin with this thought lurking in the back of our mind, okay, we're not living in the fear of God. Now, both these views are wrong on their own, okay? That the fear of the Lord, that we're to be afraid of him, and that the fear of the Lord is all about grace. Both those views on their own are both wrong. But together, they are part of a right understanding of the fear of the Lord, okay? Fear of God. We are to be afraid of God, and God is gracious. Okay? If we lean too heavily on a certain truth to the detriment of other truths, we're going to fall into error. All right? So we need to have a proper view of the fear of God. Now, to do that, I think I probably need to bring several messages on that. I don't think I'm going to do justice tonight by trying to do that, so I'm not planning on doing that. What I want to do is sort of give a start anyway. Okay, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Verse 18. So God's just given the Ten Commandments to Israel. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. For God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces that you sin not. Moses says to them that their fear is wrong. He says, don't be afraid. Okay? The fear that God wants you to have is for the purpose that you sin not. Okay, that's where this is very much linked with separation. Yeah. Okay, that ye sin not. Right? And that's why it's the key to practicing biblical separation. They did not have a correct fear of God. Firstly, instead of a correct fear of God, even being afraid of God, should draw you to God, not make you run away. Correct fear of God will make us sinless. Not sinless perfection, sinless in sinningless. That's it. Correct fear of God will make us sinningless. Sinningless. Okay? Good English. Okay. I'll need help from some school teachers, possibly. Okay, so it will make us separate under God, okay? It will not away from him. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from iniquity. So we see through the scriptures that Bible links a lack of fear with sinful conduct. Okay, there's a direct link between the fear of God and the morality of man.
Right.
And you can look at Romans chapter 3, or the first time this phrase is used in Genesis 20, and in both places you'll find that it's associated with the morality of man, with the fear of God. Okay, Abraham, let's turn to Genesis 20, starting in verse 1, I think, from memory. It's not in my notes, sorry. So Abraham journeyed, he went down, and Abimelech was the king, in verse 2. And Abraham said that Sarah was his sister, and hid that she was his wife. And Abimelech wanted to take her as his wife. And then the Lord shows Abimelech in a dream that she's Abraham's wife. And verse 10, Abimelech said unto Abraham, why sawest thou that thou hast done? Or what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Abraham thought that these people were wicked, didn't have a fear of God, and that because his wife Sarah was beautiful, he was on the chopping block. But obviously Abimelech had some fear of the Lord. Okay. Now there's many facets to the fear of God, but there's one that seems to be an element in all of these facets, or at least a dominant one, and that is awe.
Yes.
Awe is defined as an emotion in which dread, okay, that's great fear, veneration, that means respect, and wonder are variously mingled. So emotion in which dread, veneration, and wonder are variously mingled. It means submissive and admiring fear inspired by authority, and it can mean a fearful reverence inspired by deity. Now, godly men of old, of the past, and some of the present, would describe fear of God, and have described fear of God, as reverential awe. Now we call it reverential awe because it is awe specifically directed to God. Now, Pastor sent me this book to read yesterday, and I started on it because I had planned on bringing a message simply on fear of God. But as studying through, I realized that this is in part, of separation, and so I thought I should continue on, I guess. Now, in this book by Jerry Bridges, it's called The Joy of Fearing God, Mr. Bridges gives some good illustrations, and he gives a good comparison what is awe, and what is reverential awe, okay? I just want to read you direct from the book. Okay. Why do we say reverential awe? It's to indicate that this sense of awe is specifically directed toward God. Imagine yourself driving across one of our central states on a sultry overcast day. Suddenly you catch sight of a violent tornado spinning across the plains towards you, lifting houses and barns in the air, leaving wholesale destruction in its path. Immediately you feel a gripping sense of awe that includes not only fear for your own safety, but amazement at the storm's overwhelming power. obviously you're experiencing awe in a very real sense, but it is not reverential. Finally, the tornado passes beyond, leaving you safe. You begin to think of the hand of God behind the tornado. You reflect on the fact that the roaring twister was a visible manifestation of his mighty power. Now, your awe is focused not on the tornado, but on God. And it has become a reverential awe, a mixture of fear, veneration, wonder, and admiration, all directed toward God himself. What I've read of this book so far has been a blessing. Hopefully I can finish it. All right. Now, I remember Cyclone Larry coming through, and I had awe in the destruction of that. But I wasn't saved then. But now, when I look back, I can have reverential awe towards God because of the memories of that cyclone. Now, the problem we face now is that in this world, the word awe means nothing.
True.
In today's society, it means nothing. People use it so often that the true meaning of the word is lost. It's lost its true meaning. The meaning is lost. People use it for a meal they have. I had an awesome ice cream. No. Ice cream is yum, but it's not awesome.
That's right.
God is awesome. Okay. Now, remember that there was three definitions of awe. Okay, an emotion in which dread, which is great fear, submissive and admiring fear, and a fearful reverence. Okay, all three contain the idea of dread or fear. Okay? Fear. So we can see how we can be in awe of a tornado because we can fear. Okay, but you can't ice cream or a meal. Okay, a meal or an ice cream is enjoyable. It's yum and it's tasty, but it's not something that we can be in awe of. Just turn with me to Proverbs. I'm going to run through and use conflict fast. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just going to run through some of these verses that mention the fear of the Lord or fear of God. So Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 3, chapter 7. Did I say chapter 7? Chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14, verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Chapter 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17, Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Proverbs 24:21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, there's one I want you to go back to that we missed. Proverbs 2, or we didn't miss it, I just went over it for a particular reason. Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, two things. The fear of the Lord can be understood.
Right.
Says here, if we Christ after knowledge. Firstly, I guess, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Verse 1. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Verse 2. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Verse 3. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We can understand the fear of the Lord. Now, Lord willing, I'll be able to possibly bring some more messages on this. If not, hopefully you're provoked to study it yourself. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention that it is the key for separating under God. If we want to be separated under God, which we should, the key is the fear of God. If we want to lift up our morals and our doctrine, the key is the fear of God. I had another thought. It's written here somewhere, I think. Bear with me. That's cool. So let's just turn back to 2 Corinthians with me. We'll read through this passage. I want you to think about separating unto God and the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? If we fear our God, we're going to want to separate, aren't we? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, affecting holiness in the fear of God. Just a quick thought. Go with me to Malachi chapter 1. And we find in when Malachi wrote this, nearly all this book is actually God talking. I think about 47 of the 55 verses that are in this book. God says in verse 6, a son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. Just thought, where is my fear? Saith the Lord. Closing prayer, and I'll end to Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we get through that Lord without sinking on the ground and nose. Thank you, Lord, for the truth, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would have a better understanding, Lord, of the fear of God, what it means to fear you, to reverence you, Lord, for who you are. Help us, Lord, to understand your character and your attributes, Lord, and have a better understanding of you, Lord, so that we can worship you truly in the correct way. Lord, serve you, Lord, how you want us to serve you. We ask in Jesus' name.